Chapter 27. Containing the sequel of the Midshipman's Disaster, Major Backstock, after long and frequent observation of Paul, across Princess's Plus, through his double-barreled opera glass, and after receiving many minute reports, daily, weekly, and monthly, on that subject, from the native who kept himself in constant communication with Miss Tox's maid for that purpose, came to the conclusion that Dombey, sir, was a man to be known, and that J.B. was the boy to make his acquaintance. Miss Tox, however, maintaining her reserved behavior, and frigidly declining to understand the Major, whenever he called, which he often did, on any little fishing excursion connected with this project, the Major, in spite of his constitutional toughness and slyness, was fain to leave the accomplishment of his desire in some measure to chance, which, apostrophe as he was used to observe with chuckles at his club, has been 50-1 in favor of Joey B. Sir, ever since his elder brother died of Yellow Jack in the West Indies. Apostrophe, it was some time coming to his aid in the present instance, but it befriended him at last. When the dark servant, with full particulars, reported Miss Tox absent on Brighton service, the Major was suddenly touched with affectionate reminiscences of his friend Bill Bitherstone of Bengal, who had written to ask him, if he ever went that way, to bestow a call upon his only son. But when the same dark servant reported Paul at Mrs. Pipchin's, and the Major, referring to the letter favored by Master Bitherstone on his arrival in England, to which he had never had the least idea of paying any attention, saw the opening that presented itself, he was made so rabid by the gout, with which he happened to be then laid up, that he threw a footstool at the dark servant in return for his intelligence, and swore he would be the death of the rascal, before he had done with him, which the dark servant was more than half disposed to believe. At length the Major, being released from his fit, went one Saturday growling down to Brighton, with the native behind him, apostrophizing Miss Tox all the way, and gloating over the prospect of carrying by storm the distinguished friend to whom she attached so much mystery, and for whom she had deserted him. Would you, ma'am, would you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the Major, straining with vindictiveness, and swelling every already swollen vein in his head. Would you give Joey B. the go-by, ma'am? Not yet, ma'am, not yet. Damn, not yet, sir. Joe is awake, ma'am. Backstock is alive, sir. J.B. knows a move or two, ma'am. Josh has his weather eye open, sir. You'll find him tough, ma'am. Tough, sir, tough as Joseph. Tough, and devilish sly. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and very tough indeed Master Bitherstone found him, when he took that young gentleman out for a walk. But the Major, with his complexion like a Stilton cheese, and his eyes like a prawn's, went roving about, perfectly indifferent to Master Bitherstone's amusement, and dragging Master Bitherstone along, while he looked about him high and low, for Mr. Dombey and his children. In good time the Major, previously instructed by Mrs. Pipchin, spied out Paul and Florence, and bore down upon them, there being a stately gentleman, Mr. Dombey, doubtless, in their company, charging with Master Bitherstone into the very heart of the little squadron. It fell out, of course, that Master Bitherstone spoke to his fellow sufferers. Upon that the Major stopped to notice and admire them, remembered with amazement that he had seen and spoken to them at his friend Miss Tox's and Princess's Plus, opined that Paul was a devilish fine fellow, and his own little friend, inquired if he remembered Joey B. the Major, and finally, with a sudden recollection of the conventionalities of life, turned and apologized to Mr. Dombey. But my little friend here, sir, apostrophe said the Major, makes a boy of me again. An old soldier, Sir Major Backstock, at your service, is not ashamed to confess it. Apostrophe here the Major lifted his hat. Damn, sir, apostrophe cried the Major with sudden warmth, I envy you. Apostrophe then he recollected himself, and added, excuse my freedom. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey begged he wouldn't mention it. An old campaigner, sir, apostrophe said the major, a smoke-dried, sunburned, used-up, invalided old dog of a major, sir, was not afraid of being condemned for his whim by a man like Mr. Domini. I have the honor of addressing Mr. Domini, I believe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am the present unworthy representative of that name, major, apostrophe returned Mr. Domini. By G, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the major, it's a great name. It's a name, sir, apostrophe said the major firmly, as if he defied Mr. Domini to contradict him, and would feel it his painful duty to bully him if he did. That is known and honored in the British possessions abroad. It is a name, sir, that a man is proud to recognize. There is nothing adulatory in Joseph Bagstock, sir. His Royal Highness the Duke of York observed on more than one occasion, there is no adulation in Joey. He is a plain old soldier as Joe. He is tough to a fault as Joseph. But it's a great name, sir. By the Lord, it's a great name. Apostrophe said the Major, solemnly. You are good enough to rate it higher than it deserves, perhaps. Major, apostrophe returned Mr. Domini. No, sir, apostrophe said the major, in a severe tone. No, Mr. Domini, let us understand each other. That is not the Bagstock vein, sir. You don't know Joseph B. He is a blunt old blade as Josh. No flattery in him, sir. Nothing like it. Apostrophe, Mr. Domini inclined his head, and said he believed him to be in earnest, and that his high opinion was gratifying. My little friend here, sir, apostrophe croaked the major, looking as amiably as he could, on Paul, will certify for Joseph Bagstock that he is a thoroughgoing, downright, plain-spoken, old trump, sir, and nothing more. That boy, sir, apostrophe said the major in a lower tone, will live in history. That boy, sir, is not a common production. Take care of him, Mr. Domini. Apostrophe, Mr. Domini seemed to intimate that he would endeavor to do so. Here is a boy here, sir, apostrophe pursued the major, confidentially, and giving him a thrust with his cane. Son of Bitherstone of Bengal. Bill Bitherstone formerly of ours. That boy's father and myself, sir, were sworn friends. Wherever you went, sir, you heard of nothing but Bill Bitherstone and Joe Bagstock. Am I blind to that boy's defects? By no means. He's a fool, sir. Apostrophe, Mr. Domini glanced at the libeled Master Bitherstone, of whom he knew at least as much as the major did, and said, in quite a complacent manner, really? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that is what he is, sir, apostrophe said the major. He's a fool. Joe Bagstock never minces matters. The son of my old friend Bill Bitherstone, of Bengal, is a born fool, sir. Apostrophe here the major laughed till he was almost black. My little friend is destined for a public school, apostrophe I presume, Mr. Domini? Apostrophe said the major when he had recovered. I am not quite decided, apostrophe returned Mr. Domini. I think not. He is delicate. Apostrophe, if he's delicate, sir, apostrophe said the major, you are right. None but the tough fellows could live through it, sir, at Sandhurst. We put each other to the torture there, sir. We roasted the new fellows at a slow fire, and hung them out of a 3-pair of stairs window, with their heads downwards. Joseph Bagstock, sir, was held out of the window by the heels of his boots, for 13 minutes by the college clock. The major might have appealed to his countenance in corroboration of this story. It certainly looked as if he had hung out a little too long. But it made us what we were, sir, apostrophe said the major, settling his shirt frill. We were iron, sir, and it forged us. Are you remaining here, Mr. Domini? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I generally come down once a week, major, apostrophe returned that gentleman. I stay at the Bedford. Apostrophe, I shall have the honor of calling at the Bedford, sir, if you will permit me, apostrophe said the major. Joey B., sir, is not in general a calling man, but Mr. Domini's is not a common name. I am much indebted to my little friend, sir, for the honor of this introduction. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey made a very gracious reply, and Major Bagstock, having patted Paul on the head, and said of Florence, that her eyes would play the devil with the youngsters before long and the oldsters too, sir, if you come to that, apostrophe added the Major, chuckling very much stirred up Master Bitherstone with his walking stick, and departed with that young gentleman, at a kind of half trot, rolling his head and coughing with great dignity, as he staggered away, with his legs very wide asunder. In fulfillment of his promise, the Major afterwards called on Mr. Dombey, and Mr. Dombey, having referred to the army list, afterwards called on the Major. Then the Major called at Mr. Dombey's house in town, and came down again, in the same coach as Mr. Dombey. In short, Mr. Dombey and the Major got on uncommonly well together, and uncommonly fast. And Mr. Dombey observed of the Major, to his sister, that besides being quite a military man he was really something more, as he had a very admirable idea of the importance of things unconnected with his own profession. At length Mr. Dombey, bringing down Miss Tox and Mrs. Chick to see the children, and finding the Major again at Brighton, invited him to dinner at the Bedford, and complimented Miss Tox highly, beforehand, on her neighbor and acquaintance. My dearest Louia, apostrophe said Miss Tox to Mrs. Chick, when they were alone together, on the morning of the appointed day, if I should seem at all reserved to Major Bagstock, or under any constraint with him, promise me not to notice it. Apostrophe, my dear Lucretia, apostrophe returned Mrs. Chick, what mystery is involved in this remarkable request? I must insist upon knowing. Apostrophe, since you are resolved to extort a confession from me, Louia, apostrophe said Miss Tox instantly, I have no alternative, but to confide to you, that the Major has been particular. Apostrophe, particular. Apostrophe repeated Mrs. Chick. The Major has long been very particular indeed, my love, in his attentions, apostrophe said Miss Tox, occasionally they have been so very marked, that my position has been one of no common difficulty. Apostrophe, is he in good circumstances? Apostrophe inquired Mrs. Chick. I have every reason to believe, my dear indeed I may say I know, apostrophe returned Miss Tox, that he is wealthy. He is truly military, and full of anecdote. I have been informed that his valor, when he was in active service, knew no bounds. I am told that he did all sorts of things in the peninsula, with every description of firearm, and in the East and West Indies, my love, I really couldn't undertake to say what he did not do. Apostrophe, very creditable to him indeed, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, extremely so. And you have given him no encouragement, my dear? Apostrophe, if I were to say, Louia, apostrophe replied Miss Tox, with every demonstration of making an effort, that rent her soul, that I never encouraged Major Bagstock slightly, I should not do justice to the friendship which exists between you and me. It is, perhaps, hardly in the nature of woman, to receive such attentions as the Major once lavished upon myself without betraying some sense of obligation. But that is past, long past. Between the Major and me there is now a yawning chasm, and I will not feign to give encouragement, Louia, where I cannot give my heart. My affections, apostrophe said Miss Tox, but, Louia, this is madness. Apostrophe and departed from the room. All this Mrs. Chick communicated to her brother before dinner, and it by no means indisposed Mr. Dombey to receive the Major with unwonted cordiality. The Major, for his part, was in a state of plethoric satisfaction that knew no bounds, and he coughed, and choked, and chuckled, and gasped, and swelled, until the waiter seemed positively afraid of him. Your family monopolizes Joe's light, sir, apostrophe said the Major, when he had saluted Miss Tox. Joe lives in darkness. Princess's Plus is changed into Kamchatka in the winter time. There is no ray of sun, sir, for Joey B now. apostrophe, Miss Tox is good enough to take a great deal of interest in Paul, Major, apostrophe, returned Mr. Dombey on behalf of that blushing virgin. Damn, sir, apostrophe, said the Major, I'm jealous of my little friend. I'm pining away, sir. The backstock breed is degenerating in the forsaken person of old Joe. Apostrophe, and the Major, becoming bluer and bluer and puffing his cheeks further and further over the stiff ridge of his tight cravat, stared at Miss Tox, until his eyes seemed as if he were at that moment being overdone before the slow fire at the military college. Notwithstanding the palpitation of the heart which these allusions occasioned her, they were anything but disagreeable to Miss Tox, as they enabled her to be extremely interesting, and to manifest an occasional incoherence and distraction which she was not at all unwilling to display. The Major gave her abundant opportunities of exhibiting this emotion. Being profuse in his complaints, at dinner, of her desertion of him and Princesses Plus, and as he appeared to derive great enjoyment from making them, they all got on very well. None the worse on account of the Major taking charge of the whole conversation, and showing as great an appetite in that respect as in regard of the various dainties on the table, among which he may be almost said to have wallowed. Greatly to the aggravation of his inflammatory tendencies, Mr. Dombey's habitual silence and reserve yielding readily to this usurpation, the Major felt that he was coming out and shining, and in the flow of spirits thus engendered, rang such an infinite number of new changes on his own name, that he quite astonished himself. In a word, they were all very well pleased. The Major was considered to possess an inexhaustible fund of conversation. And when he took a late farewell, after a long rubber, Mr. Dombey again complimented the blushing Miss Tox on her neighbor and acquaintance. But all the way home to his own hotel, the Major incessantly said to himself, and of himself, Sly, Sir Sly, Sir Devilish Sly, apostrophe apostrophe, and when he got there, sat down in a chair, and fell into a silent fit of laughter, with which he was sometimes seized, and which was always particularly awful. It held him so long on this occasion, that the dark servant, who stood watching him at a distance, but dared not for his life approach, twice or thrice gave him over for lost. His whole form, but especially his face and head, dilated beyond all former experience, and presented to the dark man's view nothing but a heaving mass of indigo. At length he burst into a violent paroxysm of coughing, and when that was a little better burst into such ejaculations as the following. Would you, ma'am, would you? Mrs. Dombey, eh, ma'am? I think not, ma'am. Not while Joe B. can put a spoke in your wheel, ma'am. J. B.S. even with you now, ma'am. He isn't altogether bowled out, yet, sir, isn't backstock. She's deep, sir, deep, but Josh is deeper. Wide awake is old Joe broad awake, and staring, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe, there was no doubt of this last assertion being true, and to a very fearful extent, as it continued to be during the greater part of that night, which the Major chiefly passed in similar exclamations, diversified with fits of coughing and choking, that startled the whole house. It was on the day after this occasion, being Sunday, when, as Mr. Dombey, Mrs. Chick, and Miss Tox were sitting at breakfast, still eulogizing the Major, Florence came running in, her face suffused with a bright color, and her eyes sparkling joyfully, and cried, Papa, Papa, here's Walter, and he won't come in. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.